Stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Heavenly Father, again we bring to you these petitions, Lord, that's been brought forth from the hearts of your people tonight. We ask you, God, to undertake to do what needs to be done in their lives and those whom they're praying for. But once again tonight, Lord, we need your power, your wisdom as we preach, asking you, Lord, to guide us and direct us and help us to understand thy word. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Been talking about the warfare that Christians face and fight to some degree every day of their life. Some days, as we're going to find out, is more so than other days. But we need to be strong in the Lord. We need God's power. We need His power and might to be able to fight these battles that Christians have to fight. Last week we discussed the fact that one of the things that we should do, and I think we ended with this, we talked about some other things, but was the calling upon the name of the Lord. Just simply calling upon His name. You know, Michael the archangel did not bring a railing accusation against Satan, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And God can rebuke. God will rebuke. He's our strength. He's our help. What we need to do, as we discussed last week, is realize our own weakness. We must understand that we absolutely cannot stand against the wiles of the devil in our strength. Now, we've made that comment quite a few times in our series here, but we must understand it. If we think we can stand, take heed, lest we fall. And we must understand we need God's power. We need to be strong in the Lord, His power. And so those are some things that we've been leading up to tonight's message. I also want tonight to speak on the subject also of the fact that not only does God allow us to call upon His name, but in the Scriptures there's some special times when His people has faced such difficult times that God Himself has come near to them and they've known His presence. They've realized the presence and nearness of the Lord Himself. Now, that doesn't mean at other times His presence is not there. But the times was so hard and difficult that God saw fit to present Himself, manifest Himself in a special way to His children, to His servants. We want to talk about that for just a little while. The normal thing is that God tells us simply to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We talked about last week about how we ought to just feed upon the Word of God. You've got to have the right diet spiritually. You must have it if you're going to be strong. We talked about also the need for praying. It's so necessary that we pray, bring ourselves before the throne of grace. We also talked about exercising. We're talking about the just living the Christian life. That should be the norm of our life. We ought to be just doing those things and being strong in the Lord, you see. Now, there's other times when Satan simply attacks in a vicious way. I mean, he pulls all stops out to sometimes Christians almost become overwhelmed. Now, what I want to show you, first of all, it's an interesting verse of Scripture. We're going to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. The 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. We find that here the blessings, Isaac was giving the blessings for those whom was going to come after him, his children. And he ends it and talks about what this one would get the blessing here and the blessing there and all these things about them. But then we find in verse number 24, he says, "And Asher, of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil." But now listen to what he says. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. He says, there is none like unto God of Jerusalem, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and is thy excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. If you notice here, it's a promise of God to be with his people, the everlasting arms of Almighty God. But in verse number 25, he makes a very interesting statement. He says, And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And I believe what God is telling us is this. The day that you need the strength of God, what you need that day, God will give you that strength. I do not need today the grace to die unless I'm going to die today. I do not need the grace of God to fight a terrific battle against Satan unless Satan is going to be allowed to battle me today. There is some days that are worse than other days. But God says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And we've got to understand we have a loving Heavenly Father who wants to and will strengthen us for whatever day is approaching. Whatever comes, God will see to it. We was sitting with Sister Carol yesterday and quite concerned about her husband and Wayne going into surgery and all these things. And I said, well, I said to Carol, I said, you know, you did not need this strength that you need today yesterday. You need it today, but it's available for you. It's there. And I don't know what you and I will face tomorrow. But I do know we have a God whose strength will be available. No matter what it is, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And I think that's something that we as God's people need to remember. There's nothing out there in front of us that's going to surprise God Almighty. He's not surprised at what will face us tomorrow, and it may be some of the most difficult times of our life. But he's not surprised, and he's sufficient to provide the strength just as he did today, and maybe there wasn't the great battle today, but he's sufficient no matter what comes our way. And we need to understand that. That's a principle that God's people needs to understand, you see. I read sometimes, I read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I read about the Christians from down through the years that's been martyred. I mean, one of those, because I just despise snakes. I don't know how you like snakes or not, but I don't like snakes. Good snake, dead snake. Amen. I mean, that's just the kind of way I feel about it. But anyway, you know, they took, in the days of the martyr, they would sometimes put them in sacks and put snakes down in with them and throw them in the sea. I would have died of a heart attack. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, we look at those things and we read about these fellows that go to the fire being burnt, and we say, how in the world could they do that? Because as thy day, so shall thy strength be. God has not asked me to get in a sack with some snakes. I mean, we're, you know, and I kind of laugh at that, but it's the truth. Today, God has not asked me to do that. If that day ever come, he would give me his grace. He would give me his strength. And I say to you, that's what we as Christians must remember. Because I read about these old-time Christians and some of the things they went through, and it's just amazing. And I say, how did they do it? Well, I know how they did it. God gave them the grace and the strength to do it. And so I say to you and I today, is there anything that can face us tomorrow that we cannot make it? Is there anything? Absolutely not. Because as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As the day comes, so shall God provide the strength. I want to go over and show you a kind of a sister verse concerning this. If you go over to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4, verse number 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now listen to this wonderful verse. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. You know, you don't need all of God's grace that He gives in some of the hardest and most difficult times of your life. But there is times when hard, difficult things come, and God says, in the time of need, come and receive the mercy and the grace. It's there available. And I think what God is saying to each and every one of us, face each day as it comes. And let God be the one that will strengthen you and help you through that day. I've seen as a pastor, I've been through them myself, but I've seen sometimes some of the people I pastor, I mean, as literally just went through difficult, hard times in their life. It just seems like that Satan pulled out all stops and God allowed him to do it. And yet, you know what? They made it. They come through it. I'm just simply saying to you, it's because God's strength is there. It's available. The throne of grace is available to come into that throne of grace and seek that mercy and that grace that we need in time of need. Whenever that is, God wants you to come. I want to give you an example. We'll go back now into the Old Testament again, back in the book of Joshua, the 5th chapter of the book of Joshua. Fifth chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, this is the 5th chapter, 13th verse, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went about him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I want you to have a little bit of understanding. You probably already know, but Moses had just died. Joshua was taking over the leadership. He was getting ready to cross, and they crossed Jordan, and getting ready to face Jericho. It was a terrible battle. It was a hard battle. And yet God saw fit to come and manifest himself to him as captain of the Lord's host, to give him strength that he needed to go and fight at Jericho. Again, I'm saying to you, you know, he didn't need that yesterday, the day before this. And he didn't need it a week before that. He needed it on that day when he was getting ready to prepare for the battle to go up against Jericho. Joshua needed that manifestation of God that came and strengthened him and said, I'm on your side. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. So there's times in the Scripture, and I'm going to go now back to the New Testament and go to the book of Acts, when God just manifests himself to servants in a very special way. In the 18th chapter of Acts, let us read verse number 8. 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, being hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. This was a very difficult, very dangerous situation that was going on in Corinth. God saw fit, here was the Apostle Paul, doing things that you and I have never had to do, facing enemies like you and I have never had to face. But the Apostle Paul knew the Lord knew that Paul would need something very special to go on. They was threatening their lives, and he just simply stood by him that night in a vision and told him not to be afraid. But he said, but speak and hold not thy peace. He said, go ahead and preach, Paul. It's all right. If you notice, he stayed there then a year and a half. God's strength was there, available for him. If you notice also in chapter 22, verse 17, And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee forhence unto the Gentiles. Once again, you find it's in a very, very difficult time, a very dangerous time in Paul's life, threatening his life, that God himself manifested himself to Paul and said, It's all right, you get on out of Jerusalem. I'm going to protect you. Again, what I'm simply saying to you and I is that in those difficult, hard times, God himself many times manifested himself. We find in the Scripture, God did that. Look over in chapter 27 of the book of Acts. 21, in verse number 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, we should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And once again, God sent an angel, this time called the angel of God, sent an angel to encourage Paul, manifested himself to him and said, It's all right, you are not going to die, and neither is anybody on that ship going to die. So again, I say, you know, whenever there is the needed strength, the extra grace, he sometimes doesn't just give grace, or sometimes doesn't give just strength, he gives himself. And I don't know where you are. I don't know, but there's been a couple times in my life when it seemed like God was so close, just so absolutely close, that I want to just reach out and touch him. Special times, special needs. This is not the norm. The norm is be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. We do not need the manifestation of God over every little problem and trouble of our life. But there are special times that God visits us in a very special way. His presence, his nearness is very real. More so than any other times in your life. But yet we know he is always there. We know that. Sometimes God does that. And in fact, if you read some of the stories of Christians, and I'm not talking about what we would call great Christians, I'm just talking about Christians that when they got ready to die, some of the stories of that is just fabulous. It seems like God in a real way sends a very special blessing to those who are just getting ready to cross over. I've told you the story, but Donna and I was standing up here in the house right up here, and her mother was very, very sick. We knew she was getting close. We didn't know when, but me and her wandered into that room that morning and simply just got around her bed. She was on one side and I was on the other side. We were just talking away and thinking, you know, that Ruth was not doing real well. And all at once, she just lifts her head up. Very, very weak, she lifts her head up off the pillow. And the most beautiful smile you've ever seen come up on her face. She lays it back down. About maybe 2 minutes later, I don't know, somewhere in there, it wasn't very much longer. No, she lifted her head way up again and just looked. That smile, beautiful, beautiful smile came back on her face. She just laid her head back and took one breath and was gone. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, I'm not saying God does that for everybody, but I'm telling you this, God does it when it's necessary. And I believe she saw. I believe she saw the angels coming after her. That's what I believe with all my heart. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think not only did he do it for Ruth, he done it for my wife. She, for 7 years, had cared for her mother faithfully, worked hard, difficult times. And I think God gave her the blessing too. I'm just simply saying, D.L. Moody, when he got ready to die, he looked up and he said, If this is death, why did I wait so long? He said, It's beautiful. And I'm just simply saying to you, I don't know what happens at every time. What I'm simply saying is God, when needful, visits his people and blesses them and gives them encouragement they need at a very special time in their life. So again, I'm saying, now look, don't go out here and every time you get into trouble, say, where's God? Those are special times. Very special times when very special needs. Amen? Now, he's always there. Amen? You don't have to worry. He is always there. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's how I know he's always there. He does not lie. He'll always be with us. But sometimes he just simply gives us that extra strength and grace that we need in difficult times of our life. Now let me say something to you. Growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ takes time. If you're here and you haven't been saved for too long of a period of time, remember something. You're not going to jump into maturity. You grow into it. It takes time. You're going to fight those battles that old Satan's going to do everything he can to try to stop you in your early Christian life, to try to discourage you and stop you. Stop you from growing. You can be an influence upon many people's lives, and he doesn't want that. Now, you're not going to just all at once jump up to maturity and you're going to be a mature Christian. It takes growth. It takes time for you to grow as a Christian. So you want to remember that, because sometimes old Satan will use that sometime and will say, you know, I can't do like this other person done, and I can't do this and I can't do that, and I'm not living like I should on this area here, and boy, I don't, you know, maybe I'm just not even saved and all this kind of stuff. What I'm simply saying is Satan will do everything he can to discourage you. It takes time to grow in the Christian life. That's why it's so important that you be in church, you be under the preaching of the Word of God, you read your Bible, you do those things, you pray to the Lord. It's why it's so important you do that, so that you will mature and you will grow, you see. Now, reason I've said that is because I want to go back to the book of Revelation, the second chapter of the book of Revelation. In all the seven letters to the churches, there is something that God says about every one of them. In the first one, in second chapter, the verse number 7, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now listen, "To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I want you to notice the word overcometh. Now, if you also go with me down to, let's see, verse number 11 of that chapter. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." If you notice also, skipping on down in verse number 17, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." If you'll go on down to verse number 26, he says, "And he that overcometh keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Chapter 3, verse number 5, "He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." And also, if you go over to verse number 12 of chapter 3, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." You go on down to verse number, let's see here, I'm hunting for it, in verse 21. In verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Now I want you to go to chapter 12 for just a few moments. I'll make a point here and then we'll go back. But chapter 12. He says in verse 11, "And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death." What God wants every Christian to be is an overcomer. He wants us, yes, we know who overcame for us. It was the blood of the Lamb. We know that. But you notice also he said, "by the word of their testimony." And he said, "they loved not their lives unto death." God not only wants us to be a Christian, which absolutely that can only be done through His wonderful grace, be born only by Him, Him doing the work, but He wants us to be an overcoming Christian. He wants us to be strong. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God wants that for every single Christian alive. You see, there's a lot of things we talk about. And we say, well, we just, you know, God will take care of it. I want to tell you, back in the Old Testament, when Moses was in the wilderness and God told him, he said, or they needed water, God said, strike that rock. Let me say to you, water never came out of that rock till Moses lifted his hand with that rod in his hand and smote the rock, and then the water flew. Moses done the hitting and God sent the water. And if you'll find in the Christian life, God is constantly doing those same things. If you notice in the New Testament, you remember when the man with the withered hand, what did he tell him? Did he say, well, I'll just take care of that. He said, stretch forth thy hand. Something that was impossible for him to do, but he made the effort to do so and did so because at the same time Jesus healed him. Again, I'm saying to you, and the man who had the palsy, he said to him, take up thy bed and walk. The one thing he couldn't do is take up his bed and walk. But when he made the effort to do it, God allowed him to do it. So again, I'm saying, you know, remember when Peter got out of the boat? What did God say to him? You know, he could have just transplanted him out on the water. He said, Peter, get out of that boat and get on that water. And Peter did so. I'm simply saying to you that God expects His people to be overcomers. That's why we have such too many times so many weak Christians today, because they have just absolutely just stopped in their Christian life and they won't even attempt to be overcomers. And you know what it is? It's just like a preacher. You know, I go to my study and I prepare to preach. I have prepared this week to get ready for this message. I have studied and I've got ready and I am here preaching. But I understand the truth. I think you probably do, but I understand the truth. I've got to do my part. But if God doesn't take it and empower it, it'll be worthless. But let me say to you, He's not going to just say, just get up there and just say whatever you want. He tells us to get in there and prepare. Get ready to preach. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Does He not? Now, you think God would bless if I just went and didn't worry about studying this week and got up here and said, well, I wonder what God wants me to say tonight? Do you think God would bless that? You know He wouldn't. God wants us in preparation. And then He takes it and He empowers it. The preaching will do no good tonight if it's only in my strength. It's only what I've studied. If it's only what I've prepared, it'll do no good. But if God takes it, it'll do some good. But I've still got to prepare. And what God is saying to us, and we can say that about our bus routes out there. You know, God blesses, but He isn't going to bless if you don't get out there and visit those bus routes. He isn't going to bless it. No way can He bless it if you don't get out there and work and work and visit those bus routes. But then God can take what you did and empower it and do something with it, you see. But we still got to work. Amen. So I'm simply saying God wants overcomers. The reason we have so many people out there and sitting in homes today right now telling about the times when they was done wrong in the church and sitting back, not going anywhere and all of those things, because they have never desired to be an overcomer. They found an excuse where they can go sit somewhere and find an excuse for not going to church and not living for God and doing right. They've got their excuse. Or they think they have, but they don't. God expects His people to be overcomers. You go out and do it no matter what comes your way. So something comes hard your way. Big deal. It's true for all of us. Jesus died up there on the cross for us. Amen. What are we sitting around worrying about all that happened here and there and all this kind of stuff when you know what? We just get in there and do. Amen. So we need to be overcomers, you see. So what God tells us, going back to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in that portion of Scripture, let me start at verse number 11 in 6th chapter. Look what he says, put on the whole armor of God, and notice what he says, that you may be able to stand. Now think about the word stand, okay? Then if you skip down to verse number 13, he says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand." The same thought is there. Stand, withstand. Look what he says. "In the evil day, and having done all to," what? "Stand." And then he starts the next verse off with, "Stand, therefore." If you will notice in this text that we are preaching on, four different times God uses the word stand. Three times stand, the other time withstand, meaning the very same thing. In other words, you and I are to stand. Amen? We're not to give up. We're just to stand. That's what God expects His people to do. How can you do that? You be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's how you do it. You don't be a baby. You simply stand. When all comes against you, you just stand. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Remember? Say, "But you don't know my day." God does. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." Trust God. Let God give you the strength to get through that day, you see. And that's what He's trying to tell us to do, you see. See, let me share with you this. One reason the world does not respect Christianity is they think we are a bunch of sentimental, spineless, undedicated to our cause group. You know the communists back years ago when the communists was in, you know what they would do? They would literally go out there in the streets and do everything they could. They would even give up every dime they had to get the communist message out. They would give up their lives to that, dedicated to that cause. And we as Christians anymore don't want to give up anything to get the cause of Christ out, that which will save eternal souls. Amen? I'm simply saying, you see, the world out there looks at us as some spineless people who are not dedicated to the cause we say we should be dedicated to. We're talking about a cause that will save souls for eternity. And too many times, Christians are not even dedicated to that cause. If it comes easy, okay. If it doesn't, then forget it. I'm saying to you, God says stand. Stand, therefore. Withstand. Stand and do right, you see. Do what's right to do, you see. That word stand also means to pull yourself together and brace yourself for the conflict. I mean, there's a conflict out there, folks. It's out there. It's all around us. Stand up and brace yourself for it and face it. Amen? Oh, don't let Satan defeat you. You know what I really believe? I mean, I do believe this. One of the greatest sins in Christianity today, self-pity. Christians all over this world are having pity parties. Just pity parties. I mean, self-pity. You know what God said His Word? Listen to what God said His Word in 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And boy, the first little hard times come, we think it's abnormal. That's not abnormal. It is normal to be persecuted. And I mean, isn't that right? You know what the Scripture says? That's normal. In Philippians, the first chapter, he says, "And unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." That's normality. God said, "If you want to believe on Him, you're going to suffer for Him." Amen? That's normal. And yet we find today that Christians do not want to stand. They don't want to withstand anything. Multitudes of them, just simply the first little thing that comes along, they just fall flat. They get out, they run, they take off, they do this and that. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's an anemic type Christianity that is worthless in this world. It'll not do the work that needs to be done in this old world today. It will not do it. Look over in the book of Acts, the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. Look what Paul said, starting at verse number 21. You've got to remember, Paul had been traveling around and establishing churches all over the area. I mean, he was establishing these churches, and they was having problems and troubles, and he was going back and confirming these churches. He was going back, and basically what he was doing was strengthening them in the faith, going back, checking on them, see how they was doing. And here's what happened in verse 21. He says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconia and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And listen, and not only did he tell them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul said, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of tribulation out there. It's the way you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that that tribulation bought your salvation, but if you're bought, if your blood bought, you're going to enter into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. That's part of life. That's just being a Christian. Amen? So he says, what do we do in the face of all of this? Well, we be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God and stand. Stand. Amen? Sure he does. Now, another thing that word stand means is this. We're not to be frightened of the enemy. I want you to go over to 1 Peter, please. Fifth chapter. Verse number six, he says, humble, this is in the fifth chapter, 1 Peter, verse number six, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen to what he tells us to do, though. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now he said, it's a battle. Satan out there is a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. What does he say to do? Lay down and let him? No, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He simply says, yes, that battle's there. Be sober, be vigilant. Your old adversary, the devil, wants to destroy you, and that means for every single Christian in this room tonight. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your testimony. Yes, he wants to do, but God says, you resist him steadfast in the faith. Stand. Stand up. You don't have to be afraid of him. Over in 1 Philippians. Now, I'm not being smart about that. I'm not saying that he isn't a powerful enemy. I've already told you that. What I'm saying is we have a more powerful God. I mean, amen? We have a more powerful God. We do not have to worry about us being defeated. We're overcomers in Christ. Look at Philippians, the first chapter, please. First chapter, and let me read verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He says you need to stand fast in one spirit. Paul said, boy, I'd like to hear about your faith. And when I hear, I want to hear that you're standing fast. And this is what else he said. He said, with one mind. And he says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now listen to what he says, though. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You don't have to be terrified of the adversary. He's an enemy. He's a strong enemy. We don't have to shrink back in terror of Satan and his hordes. We have God. He's strong in the Lord. We're not saying that to be smart. We're not saying that. We're just saying we trust God. We're not depending on our strength and our abilities. We're depending on God's. Not only that, stand means not being half-hearted. Stand your post. Stand where God has placed you. In Christianity, if going to church, just trying to be faithful, just doing the regular simple things of the faith, if you have to force yourself to do them, you are already defeated. Folks, that ought to come natural for the Christian. That we ought to just stand fast. We don't have to force ourselves to simply live the Christian life. If you have to force yourself not to go to a movie, you're in trouble. If you have to force yourself to not commit adultery, you're in trouble. It ought to be a way of life. It's the way we live because Christ wants us to live that way. Didn't say the temptations, all these things may not be there, but you simply do it because it's right to do it. We're God's children. If you're just trying to do the minimum, that's not standing. I mean, I'll just do the very least I can to get by in this Christian life. That's not standing. Standing is standing at your post where God has placed you. Stand there and do what God has given you to do. Stand, withstand, stand, stand, God says. Over in the book of Psalms, you know, sometimes we think we just do the minimum, we just do this or that, but over in the book of Psalms, he said, if you love me, hate evil. Love of God is not just positive, it's negative. If you love me, God said, you hate evil. He tells us in the book of James, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Folks, listen, friendship of the world is like being an enemy of God. In the respect that you love the world, in that respect, you're standing against God. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you're standing against God. In that respect, you're not to stand for the world. It's like being an enemy of God. See? You know what he said? He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you're going to have to get on one side or the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do the one. You'll hate the one. You'll love the other and hate the other one. See? You've got to decide who you're going to serve, you see. Do you know you cannot be in light and darkness at the same time? You can't be. It's impossible. If there's a light there, it's light. If there's no light there, it's dark. One or the other exists. You cannot be in both. Listen to what he said in 1 John 2:4. I'm just going to let you hear it. Let us just take it. Hear what he says. I want you to listen to me. Now this is what God says. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. God said it. I don't need to say anything else. You see, what God is calling for is complete allegiance. This old thing that you hear in Christianity today is do the best you can, it's all right, and you don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that, is absolutely contrary to the Scripture. God Almighty calls for complete allegiance to Him when we are saved. Here's what He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. Is that right? He demands complete allegiance. And I said earlier, this is growth in the Christian life. But that ought to be the goal we're heading toward. Somebody been saved 15, 20 years ought not to be out here dabbling in the world. Somebody been saved a lot less than that oughtn't be out here dabbling in the world. Amen? So he tells us to stand. In other words, never give a thought of retreating. When you stand, that word stand there speaks about you don't give even a thought to the fact that you're going to turn around and run. You're going to retreat. You see, if the church gives the impression to the world that it's just a collection of a group of people who get together and hold each other's hands and say nice, sweet things to each other, she's useless to this world. And let me say to you, the world out there, that's mainly what she thinks of when she thinks about the church. It's just some organization where people get together and be nicey-nice to each other and everything. No, it isn't. It's a place where you learn how to war. You go out there every day of your life and you face the battles and the warfare that's waiting on you out there. But many Christians today are not fighting those battles. They're not even looking for them. They don't even know they exist. They're already defeated. Here's a hymn. It says, onward, Christian, onward go. Join the war and face the foe. Shrink not, Christian. Will you yield? Will you quit the painful field? Will you flee in dangerous hours? Know ye not your captain's power? What are we going to do, run and flee? Because it gets tough out there? Because it gets hard, God's already told us it's a warfare. And we need to stand, you see. Many have already retreated and fled the fight. I mean, they're gone. They've fled. I've seen it all of my Christian life. I've seen them go and use every excuse under the sun for going. But it's not reasons, it's excuses. They didn't like the battles. They didn't like all the troubles that was coming, and so they flee, and so they get out of God's work, and they don't want nothing to do with God's work, and they run, they flee, and they use the excuse that it was too tough. It is not too tough. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. You see, this thing of retreat ought to be unthinkable in the case of the church or the individual Christian. That ought to be unthinkable. A church should never retreat, but go forward. The individual Christian should never retreat, but go forward. Stand. Withstand, you see. Stand also means take up your position and be alert. Take up that position God has given you. In other words, be sober, be vigilant. Remember, you're facing an enemy that is a liar from the beginning. And he'll do anything he can to destroy you. If he has to use lies, he'll use them. I'm going to close here in just a moment. I want to read to you something I got out of the encyclopedia downstairs. I copied it out of there, and it's a story about Trafalgar. Well, you've ever heard of that or not, but I want to read it to you. Take a few, just a couple, 3 minutes. Trafalgar is a low sandy cape on Spain's southern coast at the western entrance to the Strait of Gibraltar. Admiral Horatio Nelson's British fleet defeated a combined French and Spanish fleet there on October 21, 1805, in one of the greatest naval battles in history. The victory gave England undisputed control of the sea. Nelson was wounded and died during the battle. The battle occurred during Great Britain's war against Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon hoped to draw the British fleet away to the West Indies so his armies could invade England. But Napoleon's admiral, Villeneuve, failed in this and decided to attack the British fleet with combined French and Spanish fleet. His fleet outnumbered Nelson's 33 ships to 27. But Nelson surprised the enemy by having his ships cut through the French battle line. The British fleet did not lose a ship in the battle, but it destroyed or captured over half the French and Spanish ships. Trafalgar Square in London was named in memory of Nelson's victory at Trafalgar. You say, Brother Rose, what's that got to do with this? On the morning of that battle, it is recorded that Nelson said this: England expects that every man this day will do his duty. That's what he said to a victorious army before it was victorious. He said, our country back here, England, expects every single one of us to do the duty we were sent here to do. I want to tell you something. Heaven expects every Christian this day to do his duty. Who are you? Are you a child of God? And we can say, let's retreat. No. Nelson went and fought and lost his life for England. And we ought to be willing to give our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Holding the line, standing, even in the most difficult times, no retreating. Let me close by saying this. The Bible says that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that repents and is saved. Let me add something to that, not adding to the scriptures, but let me add the thought. There's rejoicing in Satan's camp over one Christian who falls or quits or fails to stand. And Satan rejoices. There's people in this church that only want to do just a little bit, just whatever they want. They have not dedicated their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't even understand the battle. They don't understand when they fall, when they quit, when they fail to stand, we're all at stake. The work of God is at stake. And we have no right, absolutely have no right, to quit or to fail to stand. None whatsoever. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. God has promised that. Say, Brother Ross, will it get tough? It's already tough. And it'll probably get tougher. But as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I say that. I've told you this before. I say that not knowing what'll come to me tomorrow. And I don't know what'll come to you. But I know who our God is. Amen. What you need, and you and I need to do, is make a new determination. We're just going to serve God. We're going to do the best we can. We're not going to do the minimum. We're going to do the maximum. Amen. For the work of God. I don't know what that is in your life. I'm not saying you have to do like everybody else do, but you ought to do the maximum of what God wants you to do. What God has given you the ability to do. Amen. You ought to do the maximum, not the minimum. Amen. That'll be true for all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace, your wonderful mercy, your wonderful kindness. Thank you for that wonderful promise that we can come to the throne of grace and seeking that mercy and grace that we need in time of need. Thank you so much for that promise. Thank you for the promise of the strength for whatever day may come our way. Your strength is promised. Now your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.